chapter 28. We also would like to say that you ladies did a tremendous job.
Amen.
In preparing all the food, and we just want to say thanks. That was, the Lord bless you for all of your efforts. And to the church, to Brother Titus for the invitation to be able to preach. Matthew chapter 28, we'd like to begin reading with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Now he's talking about the first church that he organized while he was here during his personal ministry. And that's found over there in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, if you want to take the time to turn over there and see when the Lord started the church, when he organized the church. He didn't organize it over there in Acts chapter 2. He empowered it over there in Acts chapter 2. But he organized it over there in Luke chapter 6. And that was the beginning of the church that the Lord established. And so then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, now who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. And he tells this church to go. Go ye, that's an action word. Go ye, church, therefore, because I have all power in heaven and in earth, and I'm sending you forth with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to preach that gospel all over this world. And so he says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. The church is the only one that has the authority to do any baptizing. They're the only ones that have the authority. I don't have the authority to baptize anybody. The church has the authority. The church gives me the authority to baptize. Somebody comes forward in my church. They say they're saved by the grace of God and they want to join the church. They want to follow the Lord in baptism. I say, what's the pleasure of the church? I don't say I'm going to take you down here and I'm going to baptize you. Authority's in the church. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you, church, always, even unto the end of the world. Now, has the end of the world, the end of the world isn't here yet. And so he's still with those churches that's carrying out this commission, that's going, getting people saved, baptizing them, and teaching them to observe all things that he told them to observe. This verse here in verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the world. That's a motivating verse to me. Every time I read this verse, it motivates me. And I believe it's done the same to others down through the years. I believe one of the evidences of the continued existence of the Lord's church is found here in this verse. Baptist perpetuity is what we call it. The continued existence of the Lord's church. The Lord's church has never gone out of existence. There's been a continual existence of the Lord's church from the day that he organized it, set it up while he was here during his personal ministry. So when the Lord established the church while he was here, he put this commission in it, And he says, go and remain there till I come. And preach the gospel, carry out this commission. And it hasn't changed. Still remains. It's still here. And what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Now, we'd like to start out, first of all, with our first point. Why should we do mission work anyway? Why should we do mission work anyway? Well, millions of souls have never heard the gospel in Africa, Asia, Mexico, the islands of the sea, South America. Couldn't leave that one out. Peru, South America. Never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We went to Peru. Y'all know we went to Peru. Never get over it. We went to Peru, and as we went 6 hours over this mountain from Tarapoto to Yurimaguas, Peru, I would ask Brother Bergman, I said, Brother Bergman, have you preached the gospel here in this village? No, Brother Jones. They've never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go down a little bit further. Look back in the jungle a little bit. Have you preached the gospel there, Brother Bergman? No. I can't do it all. We'd go up the river, see little villages. Have you preached there? No, Brother Jones. They've never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we were leaving, flying out of Iquitos to come back to the United States, I was sitting there as we got up over this mountain and was on our way back to Miami. I was looking out the window. And as all I could see was jungle. And I would see smoke every once in a while coming up from those little villages in the jungle. And in those dark, dense jungles, I thought there's people there that have never heard the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's one of the reasons that we need to do mission work. Those in the mountains there, up the rivers, that have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do have some missionaries there, some native missionaries in Yurimaguas. Had some good news today. Brother Raul is from Peru. He's a member of our church. He went to Peru with my wife and I, and his dad is a missionary there, and we support him. And he told me some good news today. He said he had talked to his dad, And there was about 40 people, which was affiliated with the Christian Alliance Church, I believe it was. And there was about 40 of them, and they didn't have a preacher. And Brother Bergman, they asked him if he would come and preach. And Brother Daniel Castro, which is a native missionary in Yurimaguas that we visited. And so they went and preached the gospel and preached the truth to them. And they said, we want to be Baptists. They all came forward for scriptural baptism under the authority of the church at Yurimaguas. And they baptized them and organized them into a New Testament Baptist church. Boy, I tell you what, that's the best news I've heard in a long time. That's why we ought to do mission work.
But did you know there's people right here in Mount Morris that have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's people in your community that have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know if your neighbor has ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm talking about the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that Jesus Christ died. How that He was buried. How that He arose again the third day. Do you know for sure whether they have heard the gospel? I'm trying to show us tonight where we're at. With the responsibility that we have in preaching the gospel. I believe the most imperative reason for doing mission work is that it is clearly commanded, not once, but many times in the Word of God to do it. The scriptures we just read in the book of Matthew. Mark chapter 16 verse 15 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Who's He talking to? He's talking to the Lord's church. And He's telling His church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." John 20:21, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." That's about the church that Brother Hall was talking about in the Gospel of John. Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power." What did I tell you earlier? Jesus empowered His church. When? Right here. "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." We have the power. We have everything that we need. We are well equipped with what God would have us to carry and to preach, and that's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has equipped us. He has given us His power. What more do we want? What more do we need than the power of God? Amen. To preach the gospel and to do mission work. We've got it. But what are we doing with it? So I believe these scriptures are such a clear-cut command that requires no explanation. I believe also the Lord has all power, He said He did here, in heaven and in earth. And this power is available to us today to carry out this commission. That's a simple, isn't it? I've heard this all my life. But I haven't heard it preached of late. Used to go to a conference and at least three or four preachers would preach on missions. I mean, it'd fire you up. And it would keep you fired up. And so, let me say this. There's no such thing as can't if God has commanded us Amen. To do something. Amen. But there is a frequently won't. We need to realize the urgency in carrying out this commission. We need to do it now. Acts 1:8 there said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you, church, shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Boy, that covers a lot of area, doesn't it? It didn't say first at home, and after you've won everybody at home, then around the world. It said both at home and around the world at the same time. Did y'all see that? Listen, God's Word teaches both by command and example. And we know that we should do mission work by Bible examples, such as the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our prime example. He came and He went to the cross of Calvary, sacrificed His very life that we might be saved by the grace of God. What an example. The Apostle Paul preached the Word of God, gave us several scriptures that we've already read to you, and encouraging us to do mission work. And he did it by command and also by example. Barnabas and many others we can mention in the book of Acts. Even in the Old Testament, we find Jonah and other men who were sent to warn men of the wrath of God. For some reason or another, for some, a command is not effective without a threat. That's sad. But that's true. And there's a passage over in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33 that goes like this. And you all can do what you want to. It's my turn to preach. And I'm going to tell you by God's help and by God's grace what you need to do. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word of my mouth at my mouth and warn them from me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Now let me ask you another question. The same question. Have you witnessed to your neighbor? Do you know if your neighbor is saved by the grace of God? Do you know that everybody in Mount Morris has heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Good question. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Have you delivered your soul? Another good question. Listen. We see here the prophet of God is told that he is a watchman to the house of Israel. Listen. The church is the watchman to the world today to warn them of the wrath of God. Are we doing it? And I believe the parallel here certainly holds that the blood of those that we fail to warn will be required at our hands. How big deal. As long as I get to heaven, that's all that matters. How selfish. To know that we're saved by the grace of God and we don't want to share it with anybody else. I'm not content with that. Another reason for doing mission work is that reward is promised. There in our reading in Matthew 28, he said, "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Listen. If a church does not carry out the Great Commission, I don't see how they can claim the Lord's promise to be with them in strength and to be with them in power to the end of the world. Now, we can do what we want to about that, too. Now, I have a little bit more to say about that after a while. But no doubt the most compelling reasons for doing mission work is because of the love and the mercy of God. Because of what He has done for us. Listen, just stop for a minute, please. And stop and realize what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life. He did something for you one day that you could never, never, never do for yourself. He saved your unworthy soul. To know in my own heart tonight, that I have been forgiven. Oh, what a blessing. Amen. That He has forgiven me of my sins. Oh, what a blessing. Amen. What a peace of heart. What a peace of mind to know that I've been forgiven. And not only have I been forgiven, but I have been forgiven of the guilt of all of my sin. How would you like to live with the guilt of your sin the rest of your life? Think about it. Go back to when you were lost. And in the depths of sin that you were in. And then think for just a moment that Jesus Christ in His infinite love and His mercy and His grace has forgiven you. What a powerful word. And to deliver you from the guilt of your sin. What a blessing. So, let's hit for just a minute here on the biblical method of mission work. In Acts chapter 13, follow over there with me to Acts chapter 13. I'd like to look at the first four verses. The biblical method of mission work. Now there were in the church, underline that. There were in the church that was at Antioch. This was a local visible body. This was not a big universal invisible monstrosity of a thing. It was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted, and prayed and laid their hands on them, they, the church, sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Listen. This method works today. Some will say, well, Brother Jones, that was written 2,000 years ago. So was John 3:16. Right. And unless God Himself superseded it, we have no right to set it aside. In the case of the tabernacle worship and animal sacrifices and so on, God Himself clearly changed that. Such is not the case with New Testament missions. Notice there in verse 1. It all started with a local church. The church at Antioch. Without a local church, you cannot have scriptural mission work. You cannot baptize right. You cannot teach right. You cannot serve right. Tell you what. It goes all the way back to proper authority. Boy, we don't like to hear this word, authority. Huh? The world doesn't like to hear it. And there are a lot of Baptists that don't like to hear it. But God teaches it. It's clearly taught in His Word here. And so we see it also involved God called men. You see them there? Called them out? Church ordained them? I'll get that in a minute. And so it involved God called men. And without God called men, you will not have scriptural or successful mission work. Not only were they God called men, they were church separated also. Churches today have been lax in separating men and in examining them morally and doctrinally as to their qualifications. Now notice, the church at Antioch fasted and prayed before ordaining Saul and Barnabas with the laying on of hands. You know what they did? They simply submitted to church authority. They went where the church sent them. Huh? I don't draw back yet now. Today, the preacher picks out the mission field and then says, now I've got to have church authority. Is that right? Come on. Come on, you preachers. Hang in there with me. Listen, it's the church's mission. It's not that preacher's mission. And the church sent them. We got the cart before the horse. Huh? An old preacher say, "Oh, I'm the one that started this mission. This is my mission." No, it's not. It's the church's mission. You just have the privilege of being a member of Mount Morris Baptist Church, which has the authority to start that work. They started it in the first place, and they have the authority to put in who they want to, and you have the privilege of being able to preach every service at that mission. Amen, oh me, or oh my. That's exactly right. You young preachers, listen to me. That's the way it's that is here in the Bible. Do y'all see that truth? Listen, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck today. I'm just trying to preach you the truth. We want to get a mission going. We want to start a mission. We'll get out and we'll look all over the place and we say, "Well, this looks like a pretty good place to start a mission." Come on, church. It's the church's responsibility. Notice there in Acts, there in 13 and verse 3, where he said, "And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they," the church, "sent them away." Not only were Saul and Barnabas separated and ordained by the church, but they were also sent by the church. And after they were sent by the church, they were led by the Holy Spirit. So our churches today should carefully separate and examine those that it sends out and maintain a general surveillance of the work as its doctrinal soundness. I owe that to my church. And you do too. Now, thirdly, the Bible also gives us a pattern of cooperation of churches in support of missions. In the book of Philippians, turn over there to Philippians chapter 4. You're batting your eyes a little bit. Why, this will help you wake up a little. Here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." There's nothing wrong with churches getting together and sending money to these different missionaries that we support. In fact, the Bible teaches that. I'm not talking about a mission board. There's none taught in the Bible. I'm talking about individual, independent missionary Baptist churches sending those missionary offerings. But I'll tell you what, there's some reasons tonight why we are not doing and giving to missionary work like we ought to. And I want to name a few reasons here in the book of Haggai, in the first chapter. In the second year of Darius the king, in verse 1, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord. By Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the king priest, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built. The time is not come. We don't need to start doing mission work. We don't need to give more to mission work. The time God is a... Now notice, keep that in mind. Then came the word of the Lord. Does that do anything to you? Huh? Now listen to me. The people there in Haggai's day didn't like to hear this any more than you want to hear it tonight. But I'm telling you, I'm preaching you the word of God. I'm preaching you the truth, just like Haggai did here. And he said, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, now this is God's man, God's heaven-sent man. And he says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? Don't have the money. You got your money to pay your $200,000 house payment. You got your money to make your two car payments. You got your money to pay on your three credit cards. You got your money to send your kids to college. Getting quiet. But the time is not come for us to build the house of God. And this is exactly where we are today. This is exactly where we're at. We don't have the money. Let me tell you something. We have the money to do anything we want to do. And spend it on exactly what we want to spend it on. We've got two or three credit cards charged to the tilt. Trying to get them paid off. Just about get them paid off. And then we got in our mind about 10 other things that we need to have and we got to have as soon as we get it paid off. And Brother Parvin Hall sits over there in Murray, Kentucky, needs $8,000 to finish his building, and it takes 2 or 3 years for him to raise the money so that he can have a building there to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then go down to the bank and borrow $20,000 on his signature. And we don't have time. We've got to decorate our houses. We've got to get everything fixed up. And him and his wife, they sacrifice. He's the best missionary you'll ever see. And we're worried about our CDs. We're worried about our retirement. And we've got money in the bank that we could get out tomorrow and send $8,000 back with him that he can finish that building. I'll tell you what, that tears me up. You say, you need to go back to Peru again. I'd probably be 10 times worse than I am now about it. But that's the truth. Am I right or not? What are we going to do about it? I tell you what I've done with my church. I came back from Peru. I said, I want to suggest something to you. I showed them the slides, showed them everything I did over there. I came back just like these churches did in the book of Acts and reported to the church what we did and what we saw and so on. I said, I want to suggest something to you. I said, usually just about every week, we all take our family out for supper. Friday night, usually. Saturday, am I right? Saturday night? Sometimes 3 times. Okay, thank you. And I suggested to them, on the third week, on that Friday or Saturday or whatever, whatever it cost you to take your family out for supper, that third week, you give that to missions. That's a challenge to all of you. It works. We have a membership, including attendance of children and grown-ups, around 55 to 60, and half of them are children. And I'm not saying this boastfully. I'm just telling you what a church can do if they'll do it. And then he said, just a minute, consider your ways. You know what he said? He says, now therefore saith, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You know what that means? Put it on your heart. Amen. That's exactly what he was saying to them. And we need to put it on our heart. Is he going to have to wait another 2 years before he gets enough money so that he can finish that building? What are we going to do about it? What are our churches going to do about it? What are our independent Baptist church members going to do about it? What are we going to do? I'll tell you what, we are scared to death of commitment. You don't want to make a commitment, do you? Right now, you're sitting there and you're thinking, boy, I don't know whether I want to say to the Lord, okay, Lord, I'll give $20 a week. I'll give $30 a week. I'll give $500. I'll give $200. Oh, I say, well, I don't have that. Go down and borrow it. Like you do everything else. Huh? Come on. Put it on your credit card? What are you talking about? I can't do that. My wife won't let me. She lets you buy that motorcycle. Huh? She lets you buy that boat. She lets you buy all that fishing gear. I wasn't pointing at you, Brother Titus. Huh? Now come on. Isn't that right? Isn't that what we do? We do exactly what we want to, and we spend our money on exactly what we want to, but when it comes to the spiritual things of God, we don't have the money to do it. And that's exactly what he was telling them here. You're decorating your houses. You're taking care of your sealed houses. Getting in there and taking care of everything. And the house of God is laying waste. And they said, it's not time yet. 12 years has already passed. The foundation was still laying. Is the back part of his building, is it going to still be sitting there in another 3 years, another 4 years? Or are we going to do something about it? And the house of God was laying waste. Boy, that's a sad, sad commentary, isn't it? You say, boy, they were terrible. What are we doing? I just give you an illustration right here with Brother Hall. Same thing. And after they were sent out by the church, or led by the Holy Spirit, and so on. He told me this week, and I was just pumping him because I knew I was going to be preaching on. And all he needs is $8,000 to finish that building. For the drywall, some of the electrical. That's all. That's all he needs. I got members here. I got a lot of church members here. And I didn't mention this Sunday when I preached at our church, did I? But I'm preaching it to you now. This part of it. And so, then we see last of all, that Saul and Barnabas reported back to their home church. Look at chapter 14 of the book of Acts. Acts 14, verse 26. And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and they had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. They went back to the church that gave them the authority to do what that mission work. Y'all see that? How do you see that? They were not freelancing. They went right back to the church that gave them the authority, and they rehearsed to that church everything that the Lord had done, which was properly done, was right. So we study tonight eight things that's important in the New Testament pattern of missions. Started with a local church. God called men. Church separated men. Church organized men, ordained men. Church sent men. Holy Spirit led men. Churches cooperated in the support of these men. And they reported back to their home church. Can't beat that. You can't beat that pattern. Now we've considered the New Testament method of missions. Now for just a minute, let's consider the message. The message is not just the gospel. The commission to the church is threefold. Evangelize, baptize, and teach. And if evangelism is pushed to the exclusion of the other two, we are just carrying out one third of the mission, of the commission. And I believe the ultimate goal of New Testament missions is to organize sound New Testament Baptist churches, evangelizing them, baptizing them, and teaching them the all things. So may God grant us the grace and give us a worldwide vision for missions, not just a backyard vision. So the Lord has always had a way for His work to be done. And I believe that this is the way. We're missionary. We are not omissionary.